This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, Rhianna Patrick here, and thanks for pressing play on this podcast.
The Bucket List.
If you've ever wondered what goes into being a part of a pipe band, well, you're about to find out. In this episode, you'll meet Rod Smith, pipe major and president of the Ipswich Thistle Pipe Band, which is based southwest of Brisbane in Queensland's oldest provincial city of Ipswich. It's been going for more than 100 years and is committed to teaching the next generation of pipers and drummers to come. And the piping you'll hear as part of this podcast was recorded at the Clash of the Clans, the Queensland Pipe Band Championships, which are held annually in Ipswich. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our podcast by searching for Rhianna Patrick on the ABC Listen app or through whatever app you get your podcasts on. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram by searching under the ABC Re hashtag. Enjoy. Rod, how did your piping journey start?
Well, when I was at the ripe age of three, I wanted to play bagpipes as far back as then. I went to the local band at the same time that I had that desire to play, and that was in Melbourne at Moorabbin City Pipe Band, and I was considered far too young at that stage, and they said to come back when I was 10, and I went back and started when I was 10.
Rod, so how did you end up attached to the Ipswich Thistle Pipe Band?
Well, in the early 2000s, I came down to tutor the band and help them gain success in their grade four, and they ended up becoming the New Zealand champions in grade four during that period and upgraded to grade three. I then moved to the area proper and live in the Ipswich CBD, and I thought I'd come down and continue that relationship and join full-time.
Rod, what goes into being a pipe major? I mean, how do you get to that point?
Well, I think there's a lot of skill involved as far as music ability, but also a strong leadership and people management skills, and working on getting the best out of people and having them achieve things that they thought they'd never be able to achieve. And bagpipes, I would consider one of the most difficult instruments in the world, if not the most. So to nurture young people and also older people to play better is a skill in itself.
So if you are starting out on a bagpipe, I mean, how long does it take to really master an instrument? Or is it one of those instruments that you spend your life trying to master?
It's lifelong. I think the early days when you're learning it, it will take you some time to be able to play something that's coherent, I suppose, on the pipes themselves. You normally start on a practice chanter, like a recorder, for about a year and then move to the bagpipe. So I've changed that a little bit, and I'm trying to incorporate both practice chanter and bagpipe development in parallel so that we speed the process up. I think in this day and age, young children, if you're teaching young children, expect instant results, and I think there's a reward there for them and for them to progress at a reasonable pace and at their own pace as well. But doing both the chanter and bagpipes at the same time is nothing to be feared. It builds people's strength. It's quite a physical instrument, and I think leaving it such a long time can turn people off, and we seem to see quite a large attrition rate. People start and it takes too long, and then they fall away. So far, everyone that we've started in our program that we started last year of teaching young children are still with us.
Well, talk me through the skill of a bagpipe. What actually goes into what I might see as a spectator when I'm sitting on the side of Clash of the Clans and watching people in competition?
There's obviously different grades to the competition arena, ranging from one through to four and juvenile grades. Overseas is even a grade five. And so there's a level for everyone. And as you can imagine, it's like sport. There's the local community sports and there's the Olympic level sports. And grade one is the Olympic level. And the level of skill and quality of musicianship across the corps, sometimes pipe corps of up to 20-odd people and drum corps of equal numbers are playing as one. one piper in their technique and their quality of playing, their tuning. And then that, as you progress through the grades back to grade four, there's different levels of proficiency and different levels of musicianship. So yeah, I think there's a wide range of skills, and everyone gets slotted into those levels.
And so is it a case of, and I know, just so that you're aware, pretty much not a lot about the bagpipe, except that I know that you have to fill the bladder. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously a coordination that goes on between squeezing the bladder and playing at the same time, and then refilling the bladder as well as you go.
You're right, and most of what you described is accurate. So it's a dance between your breathing, your use of arm, and keeping the bag as full as possible to maintain a constant and good quality sound at the highest levels. And it takes a lot of skill. Not very many people can achieve that level of coordination to play at grade one. The quality of the music side of things with the finger technique on the chanter, again, that varies. And so doing all of that at the same time and memorising pages and pages of music is a skill in itself. It's very, in some ways, it can be very stressful if you're playing at the highest levels, and requires an incredible amount of concentration. And even now at the lower grades, grade 3, 4, the standard is ever increasing because of the fact that people are more in tune or have access to YouTube clips and recordings from overseas, and they know what's going on, and they are learning a lot more and becoming far more sophisticated even in those lower grades.
Well, Rod, when you are trying to remember all of that, and then maybe it's sometimes marching at the same time and making sure you're in line with the people you need to be in line with, how do the pipers work with the drum corps, and what is a rehearsal like?
Well, the drummers are meant to provide the backing to the pipers. So the pipers essentially providing a rhythmic effect through their technique and various embellishments on the chanter, and the drum corps will then complement that rhythm and provide additional enhancement via the snare drummers, the tenor drummers, and the bass drummer. They're all complementing each other to become one grand instrument, really. So that's probably the simplest explanation. The tuning has a lot to do with it as well, making sure that each individual is tuned exactly the same. And the bagpipes is quite an interesting instrument. It's impacted a lot by the conditions, the weather, whether it be wet, dry, hot. So that in itself, in the hands of a skillful bagpipe tuner or leader, is quite a feat to have that consistency across the group. So drummers are really there to complement the pipers. On occasions, you sometimes have a better drum corps, and the drum corps can also help the inexperienced pipe corps understand what they're trying to achieve in the rhythmic and musical sense as well.
I did notice that, Rod, at Clash of the Clans, which is the Queensland State Championship for pipers, that there was someone going along with one of the groups and testing all the drums to make sure that they all sounded the same. And that's probably something that we don't realise as spectators, that just one drum out can ruin the whole sound of an entire band.
That's correct. I mean, for example, the pitch of the bagpipes will vary throughout the day. So the latter half of the day, it starts to cool off and the instrument will flatten off, and therefore that will impact the tuning of the tenors and bass drum, for example, and will strive to match each other's tonal qualities to get a better ensemble effect. And if it's sharper, then we'll increase the pitch accordingly. So it's not something that's set and forget, it's something that you're continually working on throughout the day.
Rod, I'm assuming that piping is it comes from traditional roots, and there are things that you do and you don't do. Is piping changing with technology?
It has. There was a revolution probably in the 90s where we moved from traditionally cane drone reeds and hide bags, sheepskin, kangaroo skin, goat skin, to synthetic products. And the synthetic products were actually born out of Melbourne. There was some people there that were experimenting with synthetic reeds and then subsequently synthetic bags and moisture control systems. I've tended to lean towards that because it takes away a lot of the variables that I talked about previously with regards to weather and weather conditions. You can control things more easily, especially if you're talking about less experienced people. There has been a shift back in the last 5-6 years, maybe more, where people are going back to cane drone reeds and the traditional setup for tonal reasons. The synthetic products can be a different tone and different restrictions with moisture control. So that's why there's a shift back. But that's really in the hands of professionals, people that are playing a lot and at the highest level that can manage that. In the hands of lower grades and less experienced people, it can be a bit of a nightmare chasing your tail all day. So that's why I've tended to stick with something that's making the job easier.
Rod, you were talking before about the next generation of pipe band players, particularly for the greater Ipswich area. What is the history of the Ipswich Thistle pipe band?
The band's nearly 110 years old. It was formed in 1909 and it was formed to assist expats from Scotland and people emigrating to Australia to provide a social outlet for the community, and so a long history. And that history is important to preserve, I think, and you know, I've recently taken over the role as president and pipe major, and it's a great honour. The person before me, Donald McSween, has been in the band for 60 odd years and president for 35 or so years, and you know, it's an honour to be given that responsibility and to ensure the future of the band. So you've got to think about, well, where are those next generation coming from? And that's why we've established a college to start bringing more people into the organisation and teaching young children so that we can make it to the 200-year mark.
Well, on that, Rod, I mean, what is the cost if you decide to join a pipe band?
Yes, so generally as pipers buy our own bagpipes, we here have a number of band sets to lend to new students to ensure that they're not making an investment that may not last, for example, pay off in the end. So we lend them an instrument, and then when they're ready and when they're sure that they're ready to make that investment, we can help them find instruments on the market. Average cost is probably going to be about $1,000. It can go up to thousands of dollars, and we can often find instruments on the market, Gumtree, for $20, and people don't realise the value of them, and they're worth thousands. So we generally supply most other things. I mean, there's an investment in the instrument, the practice chanter for learning on and to, you know, keep your finger work up to speed. And then there's the ongoing costs of participating in the band activities in the community. For example, travel. This band has been a band that has travelled extensively. It's either achieved through a lot of hard work and fundraising and sharing of those resources, or simply putting your hand in the pocket to go. So it could be that you spend thousands of dollars to go to play in Scotland, and your reward might be a trophy and a small check if you're successful, and you've spent that by however many people are in the band.
But Rod, is that also an important part of being a pipe band, is in order to develop yourselves as a good band, you have to see what else is out there, and competition is just part and parcel of that?
It is. I think there's a lot to it, though, more than just competition. There's the entertainment side of things as well. And I think most organisations that are successful have set themselves goals, and that's like anything that you do in life. If you set yourself a goal and you set out to work to achieve it, you've got some meaning, some purpose, and we have that at the moment with our college, and there's travel aspirations there. There's a lot of things going on, our gathering of the clans that you attended. That's all part of the mix, and you've got to have those goals in order to keep the organisation vibrant and moving forward.
So why do you feel so passionate about keeping an organisation that's been here since 1909 going?
Well, if it wasn't this organisation, it would be any organisation. And the mere fact that you can pass on a skill that is to be admired, really, it takes a lot of effort and skill. But if you can add on all of those other ancillary activities that we are getting involved with you know, event management and travel and entertainment and youth development, I think seeing results and passing on skills and seeing people achieve things they thought they could never achieve, developing people and capitalising on opportunity. There's so much opportunity here for this group in the fact that we live in a beautiful part of southeast Queensland and we've got 200,000 residents here and one pipe band.
So you see opportunity.
I do, in a business development as well as a longevity of the organisation.
So, Rod, you just came back from Canada. You did say it was a holiday, but I did notice that you couldn't help yourself by attending a pipe band situation. What have you learnt from the Canadians?
Well, they go for broke. Everything's bigger and better. But it's highlighted to me that the people that I've got in this organisation have all the ideas and more to make something of what we've got here. I visited a band in Vancouver that has 180 people in the organisation playing musical instruments from learner through to grade one. And the grade one band is called Simon Fraser University Pipe Band. And they have won 6 world championships, more than any band outside of the UK. And they've also won world championships in different levels within their organisation at different grades. I say, why can't we do that here in Ipswich and if not Brisbane, in Australia for that matter? We don't have any grade one bands in Australia at present, and I think that there's an opportunity to do that if you do it well and have all the right ingredients. The gathering that I attended up to witness the band play was also huge. It was a large event, and they've also spent time with me talking about how we can collaborate to do something similar and learn from each other. We've got ideas that we haven't even implemented that they would be interested in, vice versa. They've got learnings for us. So creating an event here in Ipswich that is a commercial venture that the band will benefit from. The Simon Fraser Band doesn't have the rights to the British Columbian Highland Games, whereas this band has the rights to our event here. And why can't we create a large destination event in Ipswich as well, so that the band becomes a major beneficiary from the efforts, as well as to collaborate and work with the community to create something that's going to be great for Ipswich.
Rod, what would you say has been the key to their success in having 180 members?
I think having enough people to do what they need to do. And they have so much fun too. And it's very much focused on youth development. The youth component of their organisation came out of a tragedy of 2 young boys in a car accident being killed. So they started an organisation in memory of those boys and named the band after them, the lower grade bands, not the grade one band, and started a youth program to do something to remember the boys, as well as to not be put in a position again where they had something that impacted the band so much that they needed to have that succession planning in place.
Rod, how do you practice when you have bagpipes? Is there anywhere that you can actually practice without someone yelling at you to stop?
Well, it depends how well you play. I used to practice in my garage. I did high school bagpipes, a high school certificate, Victorian Certificate of Education. Quite often that you'd hear people either bang on the door or they'd be standing outside having a listen. And again, it depends on the day and the person, and not everyone loves bagpipes, or some people hate it. But, you know, if it's played well and they can respect that you're putting in the effort and you're sounding okay, then you've got to do what you've got to do. Some people play in parks like this at Limestone Park. Some people come down and use the hall. Some people lock themselves in the bathroom, which is the room in the middle of the house that people can't hear you. But I think most people that practice or play bagpipes will just get out there and play wherever they can find a spot.
This is Rhianna Patrick,
ABC Radio.